Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back. This is podcast 838, and we have a sensational guest, Dr. Andy Weil, who is really someone who has transformed the world of integrative medicine. He's at the University of Arizona. I can't say enough about him, but I really want to say much more about the book, Mind Over Meds. When I got the reviews of the book, I didn't think that it was going to be any place near as great a book as it is. But when you get into this book, it is organized in such a way as it really lets you do what you, the Owner's Manual radio show and podcast are all about, take control of your health. Because what he does is he goes through each major class of medications, tell you how they're developed, what they were used for, why you, for example, are on a protein pump inhibitor for GERD. And not only that, he goes through all the side effects of them, but much more importantly then, he talks about how to get off them and what integrative and other therapies, lifestyle therapies, are available and what you should do to prevent the problem or to reverse the problem. This is the first time I've ever seen it done by medication. We have so many patients who try and get off medications. This is the book that everyone should have. I'm going to buy a second one because I want it for both of my offices. I may buy a third one so that when patients call me at home, and you know we're 24/7 now physicians because we have iPhones just like everybody else, and patients can log on to their medical record and email you questions through the electronic medical record 24/7. I'm not trying to encourage that, but I'm saying I'm going to even take, I think, get two of these copies so I have one wherever it is. This is a sensational book. Dr. Weil, what gave you the idea for writing it this way?
You know, I've really come to feel that over-medication is the greatest black mark against conventional medicine. And I'm very alarmed at the amount of medication that people take. You know, obviously prescribed medication, but also over-the-counter. And this has gone up enormously in my lifetime. And I think that most people do not understand what these medications are, what they are good for, what they're not good for, what their risks are. And I wanted to give people information that could help them use medication appropriately.
Well, you know, if you read the reviews that are put out by the publicity people, not by others commenting on the book, but from the, I don't think they do it justice because I think this is a brilliant way of writing it and a brilliant concept. Because, so for example, and I'll just pick two that I loved. You know, I am crazy enough to try and read every book. I do one of these every week. So this is podcast 838. So I whatever. Doing it 16 or whatever year number of years, maybe 17. But in fact, the incredible thing is the way you have put this in. I read the books, and the way you have put this in the book is probably the best I ever could imagine. So, for example, on GERD, you talk about the various medications, starting with the antihistamines or the H2 blockers. Then you go and you talk about how it works. Then you talk about the disruption in the microbiome and the complications from those. Then you talk about the protein pump inhibitors and what they do and why they might be a hazard and why they're only, you know, the approval is only for short-term 2 weeks at a time use. You've got a guy on TV who's a comic selling them for everyday use.
Right.
And which I don't think is the right way you should choose your pills, by the way, listening to a comic. And then you, in fact, not that humor is good, but not in your pill choices. And then you go over what you can do to both treat it and prevent it from an integrative standpoint and a lifestyle standpoint. And I couldn't think of it in a more brilliant way. I wish I thought of it myself. This is great.
Well, you know, the PPIs are a perfect example of one of the problems I think most people are not aware of, and that is if medication is used long-term as standalone treatment for problems, there is a homeostatic reaction of the body, that is, the body pushes back against the effect of the drug, and that may get you into worse trouble than you were in to begin with. And this is exactly what happens with PPIs, that you're on them for any length of time, you can't get off them because you try to reduce the dose or stop, and there's an outpouring of stomach acid greater than before, and the symptoms come back with a vengeance. So people find it very, very hard to get off them.
Now, let me talk to you about a couple things that I'm interested in. What is your thought about routine use of a couple of baby aspirin a day for prevention of some of the side effects of both the medications and, if you will, some of the, if you will, chronic problems such as the decrease in cancer you can have with aspirin. So talk to me about your own feelings, because you've thought more deeply about this than most people.
Aspirin is a miracle drug in a way. It has many many effects, and the cancer preventive effects are tied to its anti-inflammatory effect. I think because aspirin has a downside, it can increase bleeding, it shouldn't be taken casually. And I think you need to look at all factors, your risk for the diseases that it might prevent, risks of bleeding, and these are things you need to talk over with a health professional.
And now talk to me about another chapter in this book. By the way, I could just go through chapter by chapter because it's it's done so brilliantly. We're in the midst of a opiate epidemic, and you go over opiates and the treatment of chronic pain. One of the things we've noted, and you note so well here, is the role of, if you will, stress management or cognitive behavior therapy in chronic pain, and food as anti-inflammatory information as well. So talk to me about your feeling about the opioid epidemic now.
Okay, first of all, opioids are terrific drugs for acute pain, but chronic pain is a totally different animal. And I think there is growing realization that chronic pain syndrome requires integrative treatment, not standalone drug treatment. And integrative treatment means such things as addressing physical factors, emotional factors, using all sorts of interventions. You may use analgesic drugs, but you can't use them as standalone treatment. So there's been a tremendous overuse of these drugs and reliance on them by themselves. Now I think the consensus is that chronic pain management has to be a team approach, individualized, you know, using an integration of various therapies. And you mentioned cognitive behavioral therapy. There is there is the primary perception of pain, and then there is the secondary interpretation of pain by the mind, and that can be worked on through interventions like hypnotherapy, guided imagery, various forms of relaxation, and those interventions are without harm, non-addictive, and can be very useful.
And the other place we see a huge amount of, I guess it would be questions, but frequent patient questions, is about sleep and about when do you go from a, if you will, a sleep hygiene to taking over-the-counter sleep aids to taking real medicines, and when do you go in reverse, and how long, and when do you try to do that? Can you give me
the most important fact about these medications is that they do not reproduce natural sleep. They give a counterfeit sleep. For instance, all of them suppress dreaming, and dreaming is an integral part of sleep experience and general health. And I think the only appropriate uses of these drugs, whether the prescription ones or the over-the-counter ones, are for short-term management of situational insomnia related to travel or a death in the family, something like that. You don't want to rely on these long-term.
So you're now getting the flavor, dear listener, if I can address you, to the listener, of the depth of knowledge and the incredible wisdom in this book. I am, as you can probably tell, blown away. I don't get this excited about many books.
Well, thank you.
and especially about a book that is almost in a, how do I call it? It's an encyclopedic book, but it is, you know, I think there are 15 or 20 different medication types mentioned here. But if you look at the elderly, my guess is half of the patients I see that I haven't seen before are on half of these medicines, meaning it's not uncommon for the elderly patient, meaning the person over the age of 50, to come in on eight of these different medications. Mm-hmm. So it is, and do you approach them all at once when they do this, or do you go one at a time? How should one approach this?
Well, let me say first that I asked a pharmacist to write a chapter in this book, A Pharmacist's View of Overmedication, and one of the things I learned from her is that pharmacists are trained to provide a service which most physicians are unaware of, called a medication therapy review, medication therapy management session.
It's a free consultation in most places, isn't it?
Yes, and often this is not free or covered by Medicare, and a pharmacist can look over the list of medications, say which are not appropriate, which may be duplicative. The pharmacist can't make changes, but they can talk to the physician or to the patient. This is a very useful service.
I always think of the pharmacist as the most underutilized, best resource. And if you go to the most cornered drugstores, meaning Walgreens, Walmart, Costco, etc., the pharmacist is overjoyed to have someone approach them because they don't get approached enough and they have this incredible depth of knowledge. It's not the pharmacy technician. It's the pharmacist.
True.
In many of these places, well, if you have a number of prescriptions there, when you get your prescription filled, are more than happy to talk to you. And it is, as Dr. Weil said, either a covered or free service. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Andy Weil. It's Dr. Weil, WEIL.com. And the book is a sensational book, Mind Over Meds. Now tell me how you approach the person who's on multiple of the, for example, drugs here, such as they might be on a sleep aid and they might be taking an antihistamine or they might be taking something for an allergy or something for GERD. Do you approach them by trying to get them all off of all of the meds at once, or do you go one at a time, or how do you do that?
Well, maybe one at a time, and also it's very important to note that you should never stop a medication suddenly, that you do not want to stop a medication unless you have other things in place to deal with the condition, and then it's always best to wean off slowly. So I think I would look at the list to see which is least needed, which might be the easiest to get off of, and advise the person about that.
And do you have if you were going to say which of these things, it's a funny question, so I'm not going to ask it, but the producer sent me a question saying, ask him which is his least favorite drug to see a patient on of these common drugs. So it's such a peculiar, do you have a least favorite?
Yes, I do. I'd say the benzodiazepines, these are the anti-anxiety drugs that are given out like candy, stuff like Valium and Ativan. I mean, there's a bunch of them. But these are, I think there is no legitimate use of these except for very short-term management of situational anxiety. If they're used for any length of time, they produce very, very difficult dependence and addiction. They interfere with cognition. I think they are really bad drugs, and I'm appalled at how readily they're given out with really no warning to patients of the trouble you can get into with them.
So these drugs were actually, the first of these was, I think, Librium, that class, which was developed in the 1950s. And there have been a series of almost increasingly potent and increasingly addictive versions of them, which have longer half-lives. So instead of taking having to take it every 2 or 4 hours, you now get one that lasts a day, but because it lasts a day, it has a much more addictive and long-lasting property.
Correct. And as I say, most people I meet who are on them and are in trouble with them never had any inkling or warning about how dangerous these drugs are.
Now, what about the now in that anti-anxiety group, you also have in that chapter, you talk about antidepressants. Talk to me a little bit about them.
Well, the SSRI antidepressants, you know, the big ones like Prozac and Zoloft, were released with such enthusiasm. And over time, they have proved to be less and less effective. And now, except in very severe depression, you know, it's very difficult in research to distinguish their effects from those of placebos. And in response to this, the pharmaceutical companies and medical professions have started adding other drugs to them from the start to make them more effective. And the ones they add are antipsychotic drugs. And this is, you know, appalling to me. Antipsychotic drugs were developed for schizophrenia. They're not things to be given out at first. First blush for a routine management of depression. But this is common practice today.
So we have now been talking with Dr. Andy Weil, W-E-I-L, drweil.com. If this book doesn't become a number one New York Times bestseller, it's because Americans don't know how good it is. It should be. It is a sensational book, Mind Over Meds. Anyone who is taking more than one medication, or even is taking one medication, but is not for a specific short-term use, should get this book. And as I said, I think it should be every physician, every nurse practitioner's armamentarium to have one every place and to talk to it about patients. Andy Weil, thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure to talk to you.
This is a sensational book, and thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Podcast 838 on You, the Owner's Manual radio show and podcast, a new podcast released every Tuesday so that you can take control of your health and live at the top of your curve. I want to thank Sonar for great engineering as usual, and you for listening. We'll be back next week with a new podcast.